السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن شاء الله تعالى we're going to continue the تفسير سورة البقرة, and the hope is إن شاء الله تعالى with Allah's permission that we finish the surah today. Starting with ayah 283. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ وَلَمْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا فَرِهَانٌ مَقْبُوضَةٌ فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي اؤْتُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا تَكْتُمُوا الشَّهَادَةَ وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُهُ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. In this ayah, it is a continuation of the previous class, or the previous ayah that came before, where the discussion was around how do we deal with loans and the importance of writing down loans in Islam. If you borrow money from someone else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "In tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamman faktubuh." When you borrow money from someone, it has to be, the return of that money needs to be at a specific time, a known time. Not only that, it needs to be written down, it needs to have witnesses. The writing down of the loans and the presence of witnesses, is that an obligatory act or a recommended act? It is a recommended act. However, it is important that this is done so that people's rights are not trampled upon, so that people don't deny after someone borrowed you money. After a while, you could say, it never happened. Or you could say, it was this much, not that much. Or you gave me 4 months, not 2 months. All of these problems can arise. And Islam is all about ensuring that the hatred between people is minimized and the love is maximized. So we are encouraged to help each other, but to ensure that we don't deceive each other, that we don't misuse the trust, it is important that things are written down. So that's the longest ayah in the Quran is talking about this, the previous ayah. Now, the order and the command was, and again, it's not a command of obligation, but a command of a recommendation, it's mustahab, was to write down whenever people borrow from each other and to even have witnesses, Now, all the details of that we mentioned last week, inshallah ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ. However, if you are traveling, so now you are traveling with people, وَلَمْ تَجِدُوا كَاتِبًا, and you don't have anyone to write down for you. So you don't. Let's say you want to borrow someone something from someone, some money because you're traveling, or whatever it is. It could be an item, and this loan that you're now taking from someone, you don't have someone that can scribe it or write it down for you and be a witness. None of that is present. Then what should you do? So the ayah specifically mentions traveling, but it doesn't necessarily have to only be traveling. Let's say you're in a situation where it's not, you cannot write it down. Then what? وَلَمْ تَجْدُوا كَاتِبًا, and you don't find a scribe, فَرِهَانٌ مَقْبُوضَ, then let there be a pledge to put down a deposit or collateral. What does that mean? You ask your friend, can I borrow £500? And he tells you, that is fine, I'll give it to you. We don't have anyone to write it down. We don't have anyone to witness it. Then how about you give me your watch, and you have a nice expensive watch, and I'll hold on to this watch as collateral, as a deposit, as I'll hold on to this watch until you give me back the money that I owe you. And if you don't give me back in the prescribed time period, then what can I do? I'll go and sell that watch, take my 500 from it, and give the rest to you. This is how it works. This concept is called rahan. It's called rahan, and it's allowed in Islam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed away while his armor was with a Jewish man as rahan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bought some food from him, and he did not pay him back. And the Prophet said, until I pay you back, keep this. Right. So this is called, it's called rahan. So here Allah is telling us, if you're traveling and you want to borrow money and you cannot write it down, then another option for you is rahan. You leave something with the person to keep his heart at ease, and then what? Then later on, you pay him back and you get your watch, your car, whatever it is, whatever valuable it was back. Again, is this obligatory? No. Because look what Allah said afterwards. فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And if one of you trust the other, then no need for a rahan. You don't have to take the person's watch. You don't have to take the person's something for collateral to keep with you. Instead, what Allah says, فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي أُؤْتُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ. Then let the one who's been entrusted discharge his trust faithfully. Pay the person back on time. Stay upon the promise that you made. Do that, and that should be enough. So, the asal is what? The default is that if I loan you something, that you will pay me back on time, and you will pay me back the exact amount, and you will not mess about, and you will keep the trust as you're meant to be as a believer. To ensure you do that, and to ensure there's no foul play, we have been recommended to have people write it down so that there is evidence. Nowadays, you have people that borrow each other money, a lot of money. There's no evidence for it. The person may die and no one else knows it. And then you come to the person's family. Your father owed me £50,000 or whatever the case is. Yeah, I don't know that. Do you have any evidence for it? No. But I promise you, you see how many problems it creates. So write it down. If you're not going to write it down, then use collateral. Again, this aids, it ensures that people pay back the trust and the amana. But the asal is, فَإِنْ أَمِنَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. If we trust one another, فَلْيُؤَدِّ الَّذِي أُؤْتُمِنَ أَمَانَتَهُ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ. And let him be fearful of Allah, his Lord. وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ. Now Allah says, and do not conceal the shahada, the evidence, the testimony. This is about either the one who witnessed it themselves or the person that was engaged in the transaction, that they should not lie and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this regard. وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا. And whoever conceals and whoever hides the evidence or the testimony or doesn't, is not truthful or it doesn't fulfill the trust, whether you are the person engaged in transaction or the person that witnessed the transaction or the person that wrote the transaction, that you all fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُهُ. For indeed, this person's heart is sinful. It's very interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the heart is sinful, not the person is sinful. Because the heart is where a lot of these things emanate from. Whether it is greed, whether it is lack of fear, whether it is, Allah musta'an, the lack of iman. The iman is in your heart, your piety is in your heart, and the opposite is also in your heart, right? Kufr is in the heart, right? So, this person's heart is sinful. فَإِنَّهُ آثِمٌ قَلْبُهُ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing of what you do. In other words, Allah knows how much money you borrowed. Allah knows how much you written down. Allah knows how long you agreed. Allah knows what's in your heart. Were you being deceptive? Were you lying? Allah knows everything. That concludes the ayats related to how the etiquette as it relates to borrowing money from each other. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And to Allah only belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And to Allah only belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns it. Everything is in service, is enslaved and is serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state of ubudiyyah and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything. In other words, Allah owns everything, owns you, owns the land you walk on, owns your house, owns your children. Everything is mulk of Allah. Everything, that's why we say every day, Allah is what? He's the Malik, right? He's the Malik. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to the world, to Allah, the Rabb of the Alameen. Rabb, among the meanings of Rabb here, is the owner of everything. Allah owns everything. Hence why, what does Allah say when He encourages to give sadaqah? وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي أَتَاكُمْ. And give charity and give them from the wealth that belongs to Allah, that Allah gave you some. وَآتُوهُم مِّن مَالِ اللَّهِ. Your wealth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The money in your account belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The food in your fridge belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The children that you have belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your body belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is very important to understand. It changes your mindset completely. If you deep that, it changes the way you think. Because all of a sudden you understand that what you are utilizing in this world, you don't even own it. The ultimate owner, Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So Allah belongs to the heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something here in the following ayah and the following statement, it made the companions extremely fearful and worried. This following statement made the Sahaba so fearful, so worried, they came to the Prophet complaining. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. And whether you disclose what's in your heart, meaning you say what you're thinking, you do what you desire, it manifests itself in a speech or action, right? Or you conceal it, meaning it doesn't manifest itself. In other words, your actions, your statements, or your thoughts and desires. What is the difference between those two things? Which ones are hidden? Your thoughts and your desires, what are they? They're hidden. Can I see them? Can people see them? No. Your actions and your statements, everyone can see, right? Can someone see if you have a hate in your heart? No. But they can see what? The actions. Can someone see if you have pride in your heart? No. But they see the actions. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whether you disclose and you publicize and you do the actions and they manifest themselves, or they stay hidden within you and you conceal them, your thoughts, your desires, your emotions, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah will hold you accountable for it. When the Sahaba heard this, and then Allah said, يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ, Allah will hold you accountable for it. فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ, then Allah will forgive whoever He wants. وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, and He will punish whomever He wants. وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ, Allah is able to do all things. When the Sahaba heard this, they struggled with this because they said, which one of us can control his thoughts? Which one of us can control his emotions, his desires? I may have a split second where I desire to do something haram, but then I stop myself. But now we're being held accountable for the things that we think and the things that we desire. You see how this is very concerning. You see how this is very concerning. How many passing thoughts do you have in the day? Are they all good? No. How many things do you feel or desire or want to do? Are they all khair and barakah? No. When the Sahaba heard this ayah, they came to the Prophet ﷺ. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have been commanded a great many things, and we have done them. Fasting, praying, salah, akhlaq, jihad. We did all of it. How are we going to control what's in our hearts and what's in our minds all the time? And everything that's concealed, we'll be held accountable for. What did the Prophet say to them? Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to them, are you going to now behave like the Yahud? Who when ayat were revealed upon them, they said, Sami'na, we hear, wa asayna, we disobey. No. This is Quran. These are statements of Allah. If Allah is going to hold you accountable for that which you conceal and that which you disclose, then so be it. Say, the Prophet says, say, Sami'na wa ata'na. Say, we hear and we obey. Ghufranaka Rabbana. O Allah, we seek your forgiveness. Forgive us, O Allah, our Lord. Wa ilayka al-masir, and to you we shall return. The Prophet told them to say this, to help them overcome the anxiety they felt over this ayah. Say what? Sami'na wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Sami'na wa ata'na. So they started to repeat this. They started to repeat this. And they were concerned. Because honestly, my brothers and sisters, if we're going to be held accountable for the passing thoughts, for the passing desires, then we will accrue a lot of sin. Hence why, after this incident,
after the Prophet ﷺ reprimanded the Sahaba and said, "You, upon you is to hear and obey." سمعنا وطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Then Allah revealed, قوله تعالى, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه. The messenger of Allah believes in what has been sent down. آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه, from his Lord. والمؤمنون, and the believers also believe in that which has been sent down from their Lord. كلٌ, all of them, all of the believers and the Prophet, كلٌ آمن بالله, they believe in Allah. وملائكته, and in his angels. وكتبه, and the books that have been revealed. ورسوله, and his messengers. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسوله, we do not make any distinction between the messengers. وقالوا, and they said, سمعنا وأطعنا, we hear and we obey. غفرانك ربنا, oh Allah, it is your forgiveness we seek. وإليك المصير, and to you we shall return. Then the earlier ayah that we just recited, that caused a lot of anxiety for the Sahaba and worry, because now we're being held accountable for that which we conceal. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That ayah was abrogated with the final ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. So now the things that are the passing thoughts and the ideas and the things that we think of, or we think of doing, but then we stop ourselves, we are not held accountable for them. Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope and his ability. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. Each soul, it gets that what it's earned from good, and upon it is what it's earned from sin and punishment. And ربنا, now the dua of the companions, and the dua that he said continues, ربنا, O our Lord, لا تؤاخذنا, do not punish us or hold us accountable, إن نسينا, if we forget, أو أخطأنا, or if you do something by mistake. And Allah said, okay. Allah said, نعم. Allah does not forgive us for that which we forget. Allah does not punish us for that we forget. Nor does Allah punish us for that which we do by mistake. ربنا, O Allah, لا تحمل علينا إسرا, lay not upon us a burden, كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا, like you've burdened the people that came before us, that had more difficult. The Banu Israel and people that came before us, there were certain acts of worship they had to do that we don't have to do. There's certain things that were burdened upon them that Allah made easy on us. Allah made so many things easy on us. In Surah Al-Baqarah, in the early chapters, we mentioned the people that worshipped the calf, how they had to kill each other. And that was their repentance, right? Their repentance was death. And for us, our repentance is what? Just sincere repentance. Isn't that Allah making things easy for us? And there are so many examples of that. The salah was initially 50, and it became 5. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has eased our burdens. كَمَا حَمَلْتُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. رَبَّنَا لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, do not burden us greater than what we have strength for. وَعَفُ عَنَّا, يَا Allah, pardon us. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا, يَا Allah, forgive us. وَرْحَمْنَا, يَا Allah, show us mercy. أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا, you are our patron, our supporter, and our protector. فَانْصُرْنَا, and protect us, and aid us, and give us victory. عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, over the disbelieving people. This ayah, it abrogated the earlier ayah. In other words, with this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us that he will not burden us more than we can bear. And it is extremely difficult for someone to control their thoughts and their passing desires, which is why if you have that, you are not held sinful for it. If you go back to the earlier ayah, the last two ayahs, ikhwani fillah, or if you go even to ayah 284, to Allah belongs the heavens and the earth. And if you reveal that which is in your heart, or if you hide it, Allah will hold you accountable. This ayah is considered abrogated by Abu Hurairah, by Aisha, by Abdullah ibn Abbas, by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and many great companions and tabi'een, Muhammad ibn Sirin, and others. They all said this ayah has been abrogated. Meaning, after that incident, after the initial worry of the companions, after they came to the Prophet and they said, Ya Rasulullah, if we are held accountable for the passing thoughts and the ideas that we don't even enact, then we will not be saved and we will struggle and we can't control that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eased that burden upon us, so we are now not held accountable. Right? Man tuhadithu bihi anfusana, that which we tell ourselves, because sometimes you will tell yourself the wrong thing. Sometimes you will desire something that you wouldn't do. There's a famous story where a sahabi was praying next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, his salah was so long, the sahabi, he said, in my salah, hamamtu bi amrin su', I wished or desired to do something evil. He was so tired, he wanted to cut the salah, but he didn't. Now imagine, he was held accountable for that, trying to cut the salah that he joined with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah says, وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, do not cut off your acts of worship. Do you understand how just an initial passing desire, it would be very difficult to keep a lid on that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that burden as a mercy from us. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ, and the last ayah are a reminder of that. These two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah are very special. They are very special. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the last two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah, whoever reads them at night, لكفتاح, they are enough for him. The last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah, if you read them, they are enough for you. Now the scholars, they discuss, what does it mean that the last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah are enough? Some ulama have said it means that for your night prayer, these two are enough. For your qiyam, instead of reading lots of Quran, these two are so special, يكفيك, they are enough. Allah said, no, that's not what it means. Rather, it means that it's a means of protection. They are enough to protect you against the shayateen, against problems, against any issues, against the jinn. All of that, reading these two ayats will provide you protection. Hence, these ayats are also encouraged to read at night, and they're also encouraged to read as a form of ruqyah. But the whole Quran is a ruqyah, the whole Quran is a form of healing, but these two last ayats specifically. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلِ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, indeed, the Prophet and the Messenger believed in that which was revealed from his Lord, والمؤمنون, and so do the believers, كلون, all of them, آمن بالله, they believe in Allah. What does it mean to believe in Allah? To believe in Allah means four things. To believe in Allah means what? Four things. To believe Allah exists, number one. Who got off the train there? All the atheists. To believe only Allah is worthy of worship and no one else is deserving of worship. Who got off the train? All the idolaters, Christians, and anyone that worships more than one God. That he has the beautiful names and attributes, and that he is the only one that sustains and controls the universe. And with that, you only are left with the Muslims. Four things. Allah exists. Allah is the one worthy of worship. Allah is the Lord, sustainer, provider of everything, and the owner, and the creator. And finally, Allah has beautiful names and attributes, and he is the perfect being. That is what it means to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa malaikati, to believe in the angels. What does it mean to believe the angels? That you believe that they exist. So if someone says, I don't believe angels exist, they cannot be a Muslim. They cannot be a Muslim. You have to believe angels exist. Not only that, you have to believe the specific angels we've been told about. So if you know of Angel Jibreel, you must believe in his existence, and he's the one that brings the wahi to the prophets. Other angels that have been named, you believe in them. You also should believe whatever descriptions Allah gave angels, such as that they don't disobey Allah ever, that they are made or created from nur, and things like this. Wa kutubi, to believe in the books that have been revealed. Any books that have been told to us by name, we have to believe in it specifically. We have to believe in the Injil, the Torah, the Zabur, the Suhuf of Ibrahim, the Quran. We believe in them. The books, you believe in them generally, but specifically you must believe in everything that's in the Quran. But the previous scriptures, we have to believe that they were from Allah, and all that's in them is haq and true. وَرُسُلِهِ, and Allah's messengers, all of them, we believe in them. All of the messengers, we believe in them. We hold them the highest regards. We accept them. We love them. We cherish them. All of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah told us of some, Allah says, وَرُسُلًا لَمْ نَقْصُ عَلَيْكَ, there are messengers that Allah told us about, and messengers Allah did not tell us about. But we believe in them all, and we love them all. Anyone that Allah named, we believe in them specifically. So if anyone says, I don't believe in Prophet Yunus, you can't be a Muslim. You can't be a Muslim because it's in the Quran, he's a prophet, the great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So each prophet that's named specifically, you have to believe in them specifically. And you ask for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there are specific things you have to believe of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be considered a Muslim. You have to believe that he is the final messenger. If you believe that he's not the final messenger, you haven't believed in him properly. You have to love him more than anyone else. You have to love him what? More than anyone else. That's part of your iman. You have to believe every single statement that he said is true. Whether it's related to the past, to the present, to the future, to the world of the unseen. تصديق فيما أخبر. طاعته فيما أمر. You have to obey him in whatever he has told you. واجتناب ما نهى عنه وزجر. You have to stay away from anything that he told you to stay away from. وألا تعبد الله إلا بما شرع. And that you do not worship Allah except in the way that he told you. That you do not worship Allah except in the way that what? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you. That's what it means. ورسوله. Then, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسوله. We do not distinguish between any of the messengers. What does that mean, we do not distinguish? There is some level of distinction that we do make. Who's the greatest messenger? Who's the greatest messenger? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Isn't that a distinction? Yes. But what it means we don't distinguish between them in a manner that is divisive. In a manner, this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to always say, لا تفضلوني على موسى. Do not say I am better than Musa. لا تفضلوني على يونس. Do not say I am better, more virtuous than Yunus. Why? Because we are meant to hold all the prophets in high regard. And also, we as Muslims are different than the Christians and the Jews that came before us. In what way? Some of them, they rejected some prophets. Each one of them rejected some prophets. They both rejected Prophet Muhammad. The Yahud reject Prophet Isa. The Muslims, they accept all the prophets. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسوله. And we love the prophets all. Hence why it's important. And have you seen that whenever Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is insulted, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold those accountable, that there is an uproar within the ummah. Do you guys think that's healthy or unhealthy? It's very healthy because it shows that they love. Sometimes they do things that are wrong, but it shows what? That they love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Should we feel the same when Prophet Isa is insulted? We should feel the same. This is why there was a man, he said, they drew pictures of Muhammad, yallah, we'll draw pictures of Jesus. You know, that person is misunderstanding this. He's misunderstanding that all the messengers we hold them in high regard. And they said, سمعنا واطعنا, we hear and we obey. غفرانك ربنا, we seek your forgiveness, O Allah. أي اغفر لنا غفرانا, forgive us, O Allah, a forgiveness that came from you. وإليك المصير, and to you we shall return. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, Allah burdens not a person beyond that which is scope. What does that mean? What does it mean that Allah does not burden us more than we can do? If someone comes to us and tells us, I can only pray twice a day, that's all I can do. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It's in the Quran, أخي. Leave me alone. Someone says, I will only fast 10 days, that's all I can do, especially in the summer, long hours, 10 days. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Right? Someone could misunderstand this ayah. So what does it mean when Allah says, Allah burdens not an individual beyond their scope and their ability? It means that the obligations that Allah has given us are all things we can do. That's what it means. The obligations that Allah has put upon us are all things that we can do. And if circumstances stop us from doing them, Allah make things easy for us. It means that you have to pray standing up. But if you can't, you can sit down. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It means you have to fast the month of Ramadan. But if you're traveling and it's causing you difficulty, you can break your fast. That's what this ayah is talking about. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. That Allah will make things easy for us when the circumstances demand. But all of the acts of worship are easy for us. Allah did not burden us with responsibility and worship that we cannot do. Hence why the responsibility of tracking and being on top of even your thoughts and even your desires has been lifted from us. Why? Because Allah does not burden us more than we can bear. Does that make sense? لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. And each soul gets its reward from the good that it has earned and will be punished for the evil that it has earned. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Oh, our Lord. ربنا. By the way, my brothers and sisters, The word Rabbana is often used by Allah and His messengers in the Quran as a means of dua. The prophets, when they're making dua, they often use Allah's name, Rabb. Let that be the name you always use. You find Prophet Nuh, Rabbi ghfirli wa li walidayya wa lil mu'minin. He was Rabb. Prophet Ibrahim, Rabbana hablana, Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni laka. Among the greatest names to use when making dua is Allah's name, Rabb. Here, Rabbana, O our Lord. It's not just Lord, by the way. That's a translation that's very lacking. Rabbana means, O our caretaker, our nurturer, our creator, our Lord. So it's all of that. But you say that with Rabbana. Rabbana, لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. O Allah, do not hold us accountable and punish us if we forget or if you fall into error. What does it mean to forget? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold you accountable if you forget. There's a hadith where the Prophet said, my people, there are things that have been, three things that they have been forgiven for. And nisyan was one of them. What they have forgotten. Al-khata' wa nisyan wa mastukruhu alayhi. Al-khata', that which you do by accident. Wa nisyan, when you forget. وَمَسْتُكْرُهُ عَلَيْهِ And that which you are forced to do. Those three things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold you accountable. Someone forgets to pray Fajr. He forgot. Realized it in the afternoon, wait a minute, I didn't pray Fajr. Allah doesn't hold you accountable because you forgot. And that's part of being a human being, to forget. To forget is part of being a human being. And Allah does not hold you accountable for your forgetfulness. Earlier we were talking about ayats related to loans. If you forget to pay the person back on time, and you forgot the time it was, Allah doesn't hold you accountable because you forgot. And أو أخطأنا, and when we do something by mistake, something you didn't mean to do and you did it. Something you didn't mean to do and you did it. A famous example of that is the man that became so happy, and what did he say? Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. Did he mean to say that? If he meant to say that, it would have been disbelief, right? Allah does not, Allah forgives that we do by mistake. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا O Allah, do not burden us with, do not lay upon us burdens that we cannot carry, like the people that came before us. رَبَّنَا لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ O Allah, do not burden us with something that is greater than our strength. Ya Allah, وَعْفُ عَنَّا Pardon us. Al-'afu is that the sin is completely forgotten about and removed. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَغَفِرْ لَنَا Ya Allah, forgive our sins. وَرْحَمْنَا Ya Allah, show us mercy. أنت مولانا يا الله you are our supporter and our protector. This is a very powerful and beautiful dua where you're truly asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, we need you. We need you. We have no one else but you. Ya Allah, we are weak and we have shortcomings. Forgive us. وعفو عنا وغفر لنا ورحمنا أنت مولانا فنصرنا على القوم الكافرين and give us victory over the disbelieving people. Say Ameen. With that, my beloved brothers and sisters, we conclude this beautiful surah, Surah Al-Baqarah. So many lessons, so many benefits, so many values, so many morals, so many stories that we've learned. It's been a journey. It's taken me, I think, 2.5 years to finish Surah Al-Baqarah because we were going very slow. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those that act upon the Quran and live by it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those that the Quran is a hujjah for, not against. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those that act upon all of its values and morals and those that are forgiven. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِسْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات. A few announcements I'd like to make. First of all, I would like to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here, for allowing us to finish Surah Al-Baqarah, and for allowing us to come together every Monday and inshallah ta'ala spend some time with the Quran. I have hope that I continue Al-Imran and other surahs, but for the time being, for the time being, we'll conclude Surah Al-Baqarah here, and I will be starting a Seerah class on Fridays. I will be starting a Seerah class. I encourage you all to attend and spread. And on Mondays, there will be a Fiqh class, which I encourage you all to come. So there will be a basic Fiqh of purification, Fiqh of Salah, Fiqh of fasting throughout the year, from September to September. Every Monday, if you attend after Maghrib, there will be classes related to Fiqh that you can benefit from, things that you need to know related to your Ibadah. And on Wednesdays, there will be an Aqidah class. Again, things that you need to know as it's your belief. And every Friday, we conclude the work week with a session on the seerah of our beloved Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you follow our social media, inshallah ta'ala, you will see some announcements related to that. So I hope to see you all in those classes, inshallah ta'ala. Bring your families and inshallah ta'ala try and benefit from that program. So that's the announcements. Again, Mondays will be fiqh, Wednesdays will be aqidah, and Fridays will be what? The seerah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after that, inshallah ta'ala, I will see if I can squeeze in one of the weeks to continue the tafsir. I would really like to. If not, inshallah ta'ala, after I finish the seerah, we'll pick up the tafsir again, but maybe in a quicker rate to try and finish the whole Quran, bi'idhnillahi al-bari. Let me see, read some of the questions, inshallah ta'ala, and we can conclude here. Did ayah 285 and 286 abrogate just ayah 284 others? The abrogation that we discussed in this class was on ayah 284, specifically as it relates to not being held accountable over the passing thoughts and the desires that we conceal, that we do not act upon, but they just happen inside of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hold us accountable for it. And when will the seerah classes begin, and will they be interactive for sisters? The seerah classes will begin on the 13th of September, Friday. Not this coming Friday in this week, but the Friday after, inshallah ta'ala, and they will be, we will try and make them interactive. There will be a 15-minute Q&A for every class, inshallah ta'ala, that happens from this masjid. So inshallah ta'ala, you can always engage through the Q&A. Were any of the messengers you tested with extreme sadness, or any tests that were similar to it? Yes. Immediately what comes to mind is Prophet Ya'qub and how sad he was to the point where he cried so much that he couldn't see anymore. And he complained to Allah, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I complain my sorrow and my extreme sadness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. So yes, there is examples from the prophets that you can find, inshallah ta'ala. Are we held accountable for things we didn't know was haram? No. No. If you did not know something, then you are not held accountable. For you to be held accountable, knowledge is required. If you do not know something is haram, then you are not held accountable for it. But unless you were negligent and it is something everyone should know. For example, if someone says today, Sheikh, I only thought beer was haram. I didn't know wine was haram. We would not accept that from them, right? Because that's something everyone should know. Or Sheikh, I did not know that you have to pray Salah on time. I thought you could pray any time. Things like this, everyone should know. This, you will have no excuse. But things that are a bit more harder to know and to understand, you are forgiven for those as well, inshallah ta'ala. So that covers the questions for the sisters. Again, all of you, jazakumullah khair for attending. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the people of the Quran. And those are the announcements related to the new classes. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah that we managed to finish this program and this tafsir. It is, wallahi, a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it sincere and accepted from me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive for any shortcomings I have had. Jazakumullah khair. We'll conclude here.